The thought today is the amazing sign. The amazing sign. And we're going to read here Isaiah chapter 7, starting out here in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." There in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The amazing sign. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you. And I come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll give me your words, give me your strength, give me your wisdom, give me your power. Lord, to do what only you can do. That's to speak to the hearts of those here today. My words won't do anything, Lord. We need your words. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will be honored with everything that we do here today. And we'll give you the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, one of the most amazing things to witness in life would probably be the birth of a child. I remember when my firstborn was born, Nolan was born, and it was a miracle. The excitement, the unknown, the joy, right? You prepare and you plan for 9 months not knowing what to expect. But when he was finally born, words could not explain the joy, right? If you've had children, you know what I'm talking about. But Nolan, he did not want to be born. Nolan wanted to stay inside. He wasn't ready to come out. My wife was in labor for quite a long time. But now Roman, he was the complete opposite. When Roman was born, it was in the middle of the night, and my wife said, I think it's time. And I said, oh, we got plenty of time. Right? Nolan was plenty of time. And so we turned back over and said, no, I don't think we have time. It's time to go. And we had to go because Roman was coming quick. Oh, but when they were born, right? The joy, the excitement, they wrapped them in the blanket and you're able to hold them for that very first time. And the miracle that took place, right? The miracle, the amazing birth of a baby. Right? And now doing a quick internet search on amazing births, let me tell you what I found. I found this in January of 1987. There was a lady by the name of Anna Bates that gave birth to the longest baby ever recorded, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. The baby measured 28 inches from head to toe and weighed almost 22 pounds. Amazing, right? Now, on the other end of the spectrum, there's a baby born that was 9.4 inches long, the shortest baby ever recorded, again, according to the Guinness World Records. And the baby weighed just 11.3 ounces, and she was born 108 days premature. Now get this one. This is a woman who lived in the 1800s from Russia, and she gave birth 69 babies. 69, again, it's on the internet, it must be true, right? But according to the Guinness World Records, she gave birth 69 times, but here's the thing. She did not go into labor 69 times. She gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. Now that is just amazing, isn't it? I got one more for you. In 2021, there was a Malian woman who gave birth to nonuplets. Right, just to pronounce it, nonuplets, which means 9 babies. Right, she gave birth to 9 babies, and she delivered them all by C-section after just 30 weeks. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. We're talking about births. Yes, these are amazing stories about births, but there is one birth that stands above all other births, It is the amazing virgin birth of Jesus Christ. No other birth can measure up. No other birth is worthy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And so now today I just want to give you some truths about the amazing virgin birth. Right? Some truths of the amazing sign, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to see here is the magnitude of the virgin birth in our text here in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now get this, for a non-virgin to conceive and bear a son is not a sign, is it? No, that is a normal occurrence. That is not anything out of the ordinary. Babies are conceived and born every minute of every day. That is common in our world. But for a virgin to conceive and be with child, I would say that's amazing, wouldn't you? That is amazing. That is a miracle. And now the magnitude of the virgin birth is that it is one of the three most important events in human history. Get it? The birth of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are the three most important events for all of mankind. The virgin birth is the fulfillment of our prophecy seen here in Isaiah chapter 7. If Jesus was never born of a virgin, if Joseph were Jesus' father, then here's the thing. Jesus would have inherited his blood. He would have inherited man blood. He would have had inherited Joseph's blood, which means one thing. You know what that is? It means that he would have inherited the sin nature. The Bible says in Romans 5:12 that, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because Adam disobeyed God, sin entered into the world." And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So as a sinner, Jesus would not have been able to die for any man's sin. Yes, Jesus is a man. He is 100% a man, but here's the thing. He's also God. He is also 100% God. He is 100% man, 100% God. He's not 50% man and 50% God. He is totally God, totally man. And His name is Emmanuel here. And Emmanuel means God with us. So what does all this mean? Let's look, if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 1. You saw the prophecy there. And in Matthew chapter 1, we see it played out. We see it come to reality. Now, Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. The very first book, and if you read here in verse Matthew chapter 1, in verse number 18, the Bible's going to tell us about this virgin birth. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," here you go, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Right? They were engaged. They were going to be married. She is still a virgin. She's not known a man. She's not been with a man. She's a virgin, but yet she becomes pregnant. That's a miracle. That's an amazing thing. Right? And then verse number 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Not of Joseph, of the Holy Ghost. You see, the magnitude of the virgin birth is that the prophecy became a reality. It is real right here. It is real. It is real life. It happened just the way the Bible tells us. It is reality. And the Bible says there that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost in verse 18. In verse 20, "that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Joseph is not the father of Jesus Christ. Joseph cannot be the father of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Why? Because the Scriptures say that the child is from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. So we continue to read on there. In verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, right? The prophecy that we read in Isaiah 7:14 is going to be played out in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Right? Isaiah 7:14 is right there. Behold, a virgin, God with us. It's all the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. Now, here's the thing with Matthew's account here. He wasn't going into all the details, maybe like Luke did. Matthew was focusing in on two important details here. He wanted us to see that the prophecies of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Messiah coming, were fulfilled. Okay, they were fulfilled, and Jesus Christ is that fulfillment. But secondly, he wants us to see, and you need to see, you must see, you have to see here that Jesus Christ was virgin born. You got to see it. This isn't a time to be on the fence. This isn't a time to be leery. I don't know which way to think. No, the Bible is specific, and it says that Jesus was born of a virgin. And to deny the virgin birth rejects the supernatural. Christianity is supernatural. It's an amazing thing. It's not a natural thing. You know, how can you explain the new birth? The new birth, where Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This old flesh, when I'm born into this world, I'm dead in my sins and trespasses, and my father is the devil. I don't even know it. I'm lost and on my way to hell. But how can you explain a new birth without the supernatural? You see, harlots are changed, drunkards are made sober, lives are changed, and I am living proof of that because I was not saved until I was 38 years old, and I lived in all that. I did all those things. But when he saved me, he took the alcohol away. He took the bars away. He took the music away. He took all those things away, and he made me a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, that's what we're talking about here. Right? We are talking about supernatural. We're talking about a work of God that only God can do. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about a new life being changed. Talking about the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 9. Get this here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse number 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? The unrighteous, not going to heaven. He says, be not deceived. Might want to underline that. So many people are deceived today. They're deceived in religion. They're deceived in the world. Be not deceived. And then let's listen. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And he goes on in verse 10. He says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Those are all pretty bad people, aren't they? Those are all pretty bad sins that people commit. And he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying, hey, if you are able to do these things, right, you're not going to heaven. Who does these things? Sinners, lost people. What he's saying is these things don't send you to hell, but he's saying lost people do these. If saved people is to do any of these things, the Holy Spirit of God living in you is going to convict you, is going to make you turn from it. You're not going to be able to continue living in that sin. When I was lost, I could go to the bars and drink and sin and sin and sin to no avail. Right? But when I got saved, I couldn't go back. I couldn't do those things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God in me made me a new creature, a new person. He gave me a new destination, a new life, and I couldn't go back to the way I was. But get this. What I'm talking about is verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. Praise the Lord, because that's me. And such were some of you. Right? Some of you did those things. But he says this. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hey, you were changed. You got saved. The Lord changed you. You were washed. You were cleansed. You were justified. just as if you'd never sinned in the eyes of God. But now if you take away the supernatural, you take away salvation. Because it's supernatural. It's not a work of man. It's only a work of God. And Jesus was supernaturally conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit of God. There was nothing that man did for it. There was nothing man could do for it. Man couldn't even have dreamed this up. This was all of God. It was a work of God. But listen, to deny the virgin birth is to deny the very Word of God. If you deny the virgin birth, you deny the very Word of God. You're calling God a liar. To deny the virgin birth is to doom your soul to hell. Listen, if God was able to create the world by speaking, He spoke the world into existence, if He can create man from the dust of the ground, what would limit God to putting His own only begotten Son into the body of a virgin? You see, the magnitude of the virgin birth is that it gave us a sinless Redeemer. He gave us a sinless Redeemer. You see, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. As man, He could die. But as God, He could die for me. He could die for you, and He can change you. You see, I can die. I will die. We all will die. But I cannot die for you. I cannot die for another person's sin. But God can. God can, and He did. And in Romans 5, in verse 19, listen to this. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." Talking about Adam's sin. But then He says, "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Right? The obedience of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, being God, left heaven obediently. He left the confines of heaven, the glory of heaven, the praise of heaven. He left heaven and He came to this sin-forsaken earth. He took on the flesh of man so that He could die for you and I. So that He could die for us. Oh, that's just talking about the magnitude of the virgin birth. Let me give you a second thing here. We're going to look at the messianic prophecy of the virgin birth. Right? The messianic prophecy, there's many of them. One of them there is that Isaiah 7:14. We've already looked at that. But another one is Isaiah 9:6. That is our Bible verse, right? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Everlasting Father. And Isaiah 9:6 gives us a description of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Again, He's 100% God, 100% man. And as the Son of God, He is eternal. He never had a time when He was not. He'll never have a time when He will not be. He was not created. He is eternal, and He was given through the virgin birth as a man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You see, as God, He has no beginning. He, as a man, He was born in that manger in Bethlehem. And Isaiah 9:6 points to the deity of Jesus Christ. And in that some way, God is going to send a human form, a man to this world, born of a virgin. And we saw that prophecy played out in Isaiah 7:14. And like I said, that prophecy was prophesied. Isaiah wrote it 700 plus years before Jesus was born there. In that account we read in Matthew chapter 1. But Jesus is the mighty God. That verse tells us He is the mighty God. He's not like the little g God that the Jehovah's false witness claim He is. You see, the Jehovah's false witness claim that Jesus was a created being. He's not a created being. He's always been. Turn to John chapter 1. Right? Turn over to John chapter 1. If you get a Jehovah's false witness come and knock on your door, go get your Bible and start reading here in John chapter 1 and give them these verses, because they don't believe these verses. They don't believe that Jesus is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They do not believe that He is Savior. But in John chapter 1 tells us Jesus has always been. He is the everlasting Father. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Right? The Word is God. But how do you know the Word is Jesus Christ? Well, if you look down on verse 14, look down there on verse 14, it says, and the Word was made what? Flesh. The Word was made flesh. And when did God take on flesh? Through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. He had no beginning. He's always existed. He did not come into existence in the virgin birth. He is the everlasting Father. In Genesis 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jesus was there. He was there in the beginning. He was made flesh through the virgin birth to die for you and I. That word, incarnation, it means taking on flesh. It means to take on a body form, flesh and blood, and that's what Jesus did. He came in the flesh and blood, in our form, the form of a man, so that He could die for us. Now, if you try to remove the virgin birth, if you try to remove the incarnation of Jesus Christ, it makes it to no avail. You see, remember, He wasn't half man and half God. He is 100% God, 100% man, and He was a real human being. And there were times that the Bible talks about He displayed real human traits, such as He hungered. Jesus hungered. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 2, the Bible says, and when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. Jesus hungered. You ever hungered? I have. Jesus had that same hunger. He became tired. He was tired. In John chapter 4 and verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. Hey, he was tired. He traveled. Not by our traveling in a car and an air conditioner on paved roads. He traveled a lot by walking. He was weary. He was tired. And He also became angry. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Hey, Jesus was angry with sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. That means we should be angry at sin. It would do a lot of us some good if we got angry at sin. It would do a lot of us some good if we got angry at sin. If we quit justifying it in our own minds. If we quit justifying our sin and get angry at sin, that's the only way you're going to defeat it. It's the only way you're going to get victory out of it. If you keep justifying it in your heart and mind, you're never going to get victory over it. Get mad at it. Get victory over it. Don't let the devil get the victory over you. Get mad. But Jesus also was angry, but he perspired. In Luke 24:42, the Bible says, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see, Jesus Christ displayed real human traits. But Jesus also is the Prince of Peace. He brought peace to mankind through His atonement on the cross. And if you read the Bible, you cannot believe the inspiration of Scriptures without believing the virgin birth. It's in there. It's all there. The Old Testament points to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The New Testament points to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. It's all there. 66 books. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now let me give you the third thing here. I want you to see the mandate for the virgin birth. If you could turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, I want you to see here the mandate of the virgin birth. The virgin birth is essential. It is key doctrine. Key. You got to believe the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse number 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, was born in a lowly, smelly stable. Get that. Jesus Christ, who is God, left heaven, came to this earth, and He's born in a stable because there's no room for Him in the inn, and He's placed into a manger, which is a feeding trough for the animals. Lowly Jesus. He was rejected by men from the beginning. He was born into poverty. He was born in loneliness. His birth took place away from other people, all alone. He was born into humiliation. He didn't enter the world into a palace, into a king's home. And he didn't even have a doctor there to take care of him. But he was born in a smelly, lowly stable. The lowliest imaginable place for a birth. Oh, but that's Jesus Christ. That's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Right? Him coming as a lowly manger. Right? Hey, He's not only for prestigious people. He's not only for wealthy people. He's not only for a certain race of people. He's for all people. He died for the sins of all people. Right? That's the significance there. He is the King of Kings, but He invites everybody to come to Him. But you see here, the mandate of the virgin birth is that so many people missed His birth. The prophecies were there. They were there in the Old Testament. They read them. But they didn't obey it. They didn't take heed. So many people missed it. Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Hey, the prophecy is there. The amazing sign was given. Hey, don't you miss the real reason for the season. Don't you miss it. Jesus already paid it all. You might be here today and you're like, I don't know who Jesus is. But let me tell you, if you haven't caught on yet, He died for you. He loves you. He died for you on that cross and He rose again the third day. And if you come to Him, you come to Jesus for salvation, He will save you from all your sins. He'll wipe the slate clean and He'll give you an eternal home in heaven. Right? So what does that mean? That's what the verse. Let me give you the fourth thing here. The meaning of the virgin birth for you. That's what the meaning is. Right? If you look there in Luke chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what the virgin birth means to you. You see, the whole doctrine of salvation hinges on that virgin birth. It is essential. If Jesus was not virgin born, He is not the promised one. He is not the Messiah. He is not the Savior that the Scriptures claim that He is. If Jesus is not virgin born, then we do not have salvation through Jesus Christ. We are all lost in our sins. Why? Because the wages of sin is still death. We are all lost. We are still all on our way to hell. That's what the Scriptures teach. Now, some people believe that you can reject the Bible and it doesn't matter. Some people think you can reject truth, a certain truth, and that rejection will change that truth to fiction. It doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't work that way. That is not how it works. Truth is truth whether you or I believe it or not. Okay? Truth is truth whether you believe it or not. The Bible is truth. Right? Whether you believe it or not doesn't change anything. The Bible is truth. But many people say, I don't believe the Bible. Many people say, I don't believe the creation account. I believe something else. Many people say, I don't believe there's a heaven and a hell. I don't believe that. Well, the Bible teaches it. Jesus Christ teaches it. Jesus Christ teaches more on hell than He does on heaven. Right? Just the very fact of the matter that you choose to not believe does not make it to any avail. It is still truth. Absolute truth still does exist in this world. Whether you believe it or not, if you watch the Fox News or the CNN news, hey, they'll tell you that absolute truth is whatever you want it to be. Right? You can think you're a monkey and you're a monkey. You can think you're a cat. That's the one. There's a lady that thinks she's a cat. And so she goes around and everybody has to acknowledge her as a cat. Right? That's not the case. That's not truth. Right? We know God made male and female, two genders, that's it. But the meaning of the virgin birth is quite simple. The meaning of the virgin birth, it gives you a chance for salvation. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. I believe that hell is full of people that didn't quite see things the way God saw things. You say, what makes you think that? I say Luke chapter 16. The rich man in hell, we get that account. When you read the rich man in hell, you know, the rich man died and in hell he would lift up his eyes being in torment. And you know what the rich man did in hell? He became a soul winner in hell. He became a soul winner in hell. And what I mean by that is, he says, in my Father's house I have many brothers. I have many brothers. If somebody could go to my Father's house and tell them about Jesus, oh, they'll believe. They'll believe, right? It was too late. It was too late. Right? The meaning of the virgin birth, Jesus came, He paid it all. The salvation is there for everybody. But you only have until your heart stops a ticking. Once you go out into this world, it's heaven or hell, and that's it. Some people might say, well, I don't have those same convictions. I don't see it that way. Well, you might want to first get saved, second, get in the Word of God, and when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in you, and the Holy Spirit of God will show you and teach you all truth. Right? When I was 38 years old, you know how much Bible knowledge I had? Absolutely zero. I mean, I could probably not even quote John 3:16. But I knew in my head that, you know, God had a son, Jesus. I mean, I knew it in my head. But I mean, I went 38 years old, not having any Bible knowledge. None at all. But you see, through reading the Bible, by coming to church, and by the Holy Spirit of God growing you and teaching you, you get it. You get it. His Word wasn't written to keep us in the dark. His Word was written so we can know Him. Right, so if you say, well, I've tried to read the Bible and I just don't understand it, one of two things. Either you don't read it or you're not saved. It's one of those two things. Because when you get saved, you read it, the Holy Spirit of God is the author of the Bible and He's going to teach you. And here's the thing. We need to know what His Word says because eventually, one day, we all stand before Jesus Christ. We all stand before Him, and we need to know what we're going to be judged on. It's what God says, not what the world says, not what I thought, not what they told me on TV, but what God says. If you could, we're almost finished here, but if you could turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I want you to see verses 3 and 4 here. Whether we believe something or not does not change the reality of it. Okay? In Romans chapter 3, in verse number 3, it says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Verse 4. "God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." You see, let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, what man thinks or what man says doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Many people want to pick and choose the Scriptures and they want to take all the love of God and they want to use those to be able to live as they choose. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Many people say, "Oh, we're all under grace. It's all grace now. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want to do because it's all grace." Well, friend, you don't understand grace. You don't understand grace, just read Romans 3:3-4 again. You don't understand grace, and you'll never understand grace until you understand God's holiness. You see, it wasn't God's love that totally put Jesus Christ on the cross. It was His holiness. Holiness is what has separated us from God. It's His holiness. And until you understand His holiness, you cannot understand His grace or His love or His truth. You see, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Grace doesn't trump truth. You gotta have truth. So what does this mean? Simple. It means you can be saved. The virgin birth means all can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it also means that Jesus died for your sins. Yes, He was born. Yes, He did die in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's true. The virgin birth account is true. He came. He went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, died in my place, was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel message. That's the message that saves. That's the message that takes a person to heaven. You got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died in my place. In Romans chapter 6, in verse number 8, says, now if we be dead with Christ, you can turn over here right there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what made that possible? What made salvation possible? The amazing virgin birth. The amazing virgin birth paved the way for the Son of God to die on that cross, and I died with Him. I died with Him. Without it, there would not be a Savior. Without it, we could not be saved. But it is true. The account is true, whether you believe it or not. It is true. God's Word is true. We do have a Savior. So my question is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? You can. You can be saved here today. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. You can be saved. You can come up and talk to me, and I can show you from the Bible how to be saved. You can do that today. You come to Jesus, He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll give you a home in heaven and forgiveness of all your sin. You say, I've already done that. I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, amen. But are you living for Him? Are you living for Jesus? Do you keep His commandments? Which ones? How many? Do you love Him? Hey, are you living for Jesus? Jesus could come back this very next moment. We could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ before today is out. Think about it. We could be standing in front of the King of Kings giving an account of our lives to the Lord Jesus. Are you living for Jesus? The amazing virgin birth, the amazing sign, it's there. But do you know Jesus? Let's pray.